She's amazing, isn't she? You excited to hear if you've not heard her? Put your seatbelts on. She's not warm and fluffy. I'm just warning you now. She's an amazing woman. Give it up for Pastor Lynette Tobin.
Oh, dear. I love this church. I love it with a passion. You never know what's going to happen. Hey, Wellard last week was amazing. It was incredible. Went off like a rocket. It was so incredible. You know, God's love is so wonderful. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
You've got to get hold of that. That God's love is unshakable. You know, that God's love is undeniable. And I love that song. There's such an anointing on it. No longer a slave to fear, because we're a child of God. The world is so full of fear everywhere. And you know what? We don't have to fear, because we are a child of God. You know, you've been going through Ephesians. And the more and more you look at Ephesians, I've gone through it in all different versions. One of the most important message in the whole of Ephesians is that we are unconditionally loved and accepted in Christ. Do you get that? Unconditionally. It's not on how good you are or what you've done or what you haven't done. It's the fact that God's unconditional love is towards you. Amen? To know that God loves us is incredible. You know, it's a journey. It's an absolute journey. I spoke about it last week. It's a journey to really know and understand God's love for us. But we can enjoy that love. We can know that love and become increasingly rooted and grounded in that love. That's the important part. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know. My kids are going to love it because they know I can sing. Are they sitting in the back seat? You know, but rooted and grounded in his love. That takes time. That's time. It takes reading the word. That takes pondering on, thinking about, you know, just wondering how about that love. You know, I studied Psalm 139 for 15 years or something to really understand the love of God. We need to get hold of the love of God. We need to get rooted and grounded in that love. Spending time with God. See, when we are grounded in his love, see, love is the basis of this whole thing. When we are grounded in his love, we get a deep sense of purpose. Once you know how much he loves you, you have this increasingly sense of purpose as we really know how God feels about us. Is that exciting? God's love works. That's what I spoke on last week. This week I'm going to talk on God's love works miraculously based on the fact that God loves us. Amen? And last week, as I said, I covered how important it is to know that love and to operate in the fullness of that love. We've got to operate in that. Look, we looked at, you know, actually chapter 3 onwards. But, you know, in that chapter, actually, Apostle Paul is praying for believers to know revival. Do you know that? That's what he's praying from 14 to 19. These verses are actually a recipe for revival. That's what it's all about. Praise God. That brings about the presence and power of God, Christ in a greater way. In this prayer, Paul asks that the Holy Spirit will deepen his work in their lives in three ways. You can put it down to three things. That Christ would do well. More literally, be at home in their hearts by faith. He wants to dwell in you. Amen? He wants to be at home in your hearts. That is, that he would move from just being an acquaintance to being the center of their church family. I don't want to just be an acquaintance to God. I am part of his family. Amen? Praise God. Number two, that they would grasp God's love at a spiritual level beyond intellectual. Beyond just knowledge, we have to understand that he loves us. End of story. He loves us. No conditions attached. He loves us. And number three, that they will be filled with God's fullness. That is, that the Holy Spirit would reveal the things of Christ, bringing about revival in people's lives. People say, I want to see a revival. So many will be saved. Hang on a minute. What is revival really? It's us that need to be revived. Revival's got to start in us first. first. Then we will see many people be saved. Amen? But we have to understand, God wants to cause revival in our hearts. He wants us to come back to this first love. He wants us to get excited about Him. He wants us to know it's all about Him and not about us. Him in us and through us. Amen? Praise God. Then we get to Ephesians 3:20, which says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Truth is, do you want the truth? I'll give you the truth. In the natural, many things are impossible or seem impossible. Come on. The nations of the world right now, some things seem impossible. In the supernatural realm, nothing is impossible. Can you see that? God wants us to believe for great things. He wants us to make big plans. He wants us to have an expectation that He will and can do great things. He can make impossible things possible. Well, just look at you. Look at you, Lot. Motley Lot, aren't we all? But God looked down and He looked at you and He said, "You're mine, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine." Isn't that exciting, people? You belong to God. See, James 4:2 tells us that we have not because we ask not. That's where the love comes in. If we really know that God loves us, then we will ask. Come on. My kids will just ask for money, ask for this, ask for that. What about my grandchildren? They gave me a present. You know, I saw something, I liked it, asked Nana, I got it. That's how it should be with God. Amen? Come on. He loves us. I just made that up, but isn't that good? No, I haven't. I have got a present they gave me to remind me that I'm to give them what they want. See, we need to be bold in our asking. Our kids are bold in asking us, aren't they? Oh, I stand in a shopping lane and I watch these other kids. "I want a lolly, I want this, I want that." Mum says, "No, no, no." Guess what? The child gets the lolly. This verse teaches us that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we dare to hope or think, according to His great power that is at work in us. It's His power, God's power, but it is done through us. Do you understand that? We have to understand that. So we need to cooperate with God. We need to believe that He is the God of the impossible. Amen? This means we are to be daring in faith and in our prayers. Stretch our faith into new realms beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Amen. Many of you got dreams and hopes in your heart. Come on, people. God loves you. He's placed those dreams and hopes in your life. Let's believe He wants to bring them to pass. Amen. Especially I want to talk to the young people. You've got so many dreams, so many thoughts, so many things you so desire. You know what? Just get hold of that. God's placed those desires in your heart. Get hold of the fact that He has great things for you, but believe He can do it through you based on His love for you. Amen. I want to encourage the young people in this place this morning. Don't let people rob you of your dreams. You keep dreaming because God says He is the God of the impossible. See, when our desire seems overwhelming big, sometimes we just can't see a way to accomplish them. Anyone had that? You all had these great dreams. But you know, it's great having a dream. But what do I do with a jolly thing? True? I'm honest. But we need to remember that even if we do not know the way, we know the way maker. Don't we? Don't you know Him? He loves you. He thinks you're amazing. Come on. Who knows the way maker? See, God has a way for us to do everything He places in our hearts. Isn't that true? He does not give us dreams and visions to frustrate us. Sometimes I question that, but really? He really does not give us, Andrea agrees with me, he does not give us dreams and visions to frustrate us. We are to keep our confidence in God to the end. In other words, do not give up. Do not give up. If you've known God's given you a dream, you hold on to it. You know, sometimes things happen and looks like it's not going to happen, but, you know, don't give up. That's a word for someone this morning. Do not give up on that dream that God has given you. Even if the circumstances are everything against it, do not give up on that dream. Sarah, do not give up on that dream. Do not give up on that dream. It's amazing what people can do. Even people sometimes you look at, you don't, and you feel they've got nothing to offer. But I tell you what, in God they have. Come on. God does not always call people. I'm really burying myself this morning. God does not always call people who are capable. Thank goodness for that. Aren't you? If he did, he would not get the glory. He frequently chooses those who in the natural feel as if they are completely in it over their head. Anyone feel like that? Andrew's with me this morning. Who are ready to stand up on the inside and take bold steps of faith as they receive direction from God, knowing the love of God, hearing his voice, doing what he asks. But we've got to keep pushing and we've got to keep doing. Amen? Amen. It was great to see what the girls are doing about the saris. It's just amazing. But you know, when God put, I'd been going to India since 1984, which you all know that by now. But in 2008, when I left the Apostolic Church as a senior pastor there, you know, it was so great because it was so exciting. We had a great party. It was exciting. Then Monday came and then nobody rang me. Nobody talked to me. He talked to me. You know what he said? Lynette, who? And then, and you know, and I was living by faith. You know, but I had two bookings in my diary, one January, one December. So it was really exciting. Thank goodness for the C3 Church Fremantle. But anyway, you know, but God put in my heart to give saris to the widows. It's quite a story, but I won't go into the whole story. But, you know, that really came into my heart. And I thought, how am I going to do that? Can't feed myself, let alone buy all these saris. But, you know, God really, and things happened, and I went across to India and I met this incredible woman and all this kind of stuff. So we started giving out the saris. I think we started with 50 saris and eventually now we've given out 6,500 saris in about 5 or 6 years. That's a lot of money. Not only giving them saris, but we have fed them. We've held conferences with them. We feed 70 widows every month and it goes on and on and on. But it's amazing. It was a great dream. You know, it was such a great dream. Then I was challenged on about the third trip I went doing the saris. And I was challenged because this woman, Myra, you know, she's older than me. And so she's quite old. And but, you know, wherever there's a need, Myra's there. So she said to me, have you got 30 extra saris? I said, yeah, I can raise up 30 saris. Because I want you to come with me. David was with me. I want you to come and give these saris out to these women who are the lowest of the lowest of the lowest people in India. Lower than the untouchables. You have to understand, if I'm a Rama and an untouchable went past me and that shadow went on me, I would go and bathe myself all day because that poison would come upon me. So you know what? You're talking about the lowest of low. These women are so low that until last year, they were not ever recognized as citizens of India. They couldn't have health care. They couldn't go to school. They couldn't get jobs. So therefore, they begged for everything. So she said to me, I want to give you to give 30 saris to these women. Now, that sounded quite good, but I didn't sort of think it through very well because, you know, I'm thinking they're supposed to be the lowest of lowest people, but I didn't think about where we were going. So we got in this old car and we started going past the slums. I've been in many slums many times, but we were going lower and lower and lower and it was getting darker and darker. And I'm thinking, where are they taking me? It's great to have a dream, isn't it? Where are you taking me? So we get there, and all I notice is lots of sewers. You know what sewers are? You know. Anyway, so the car stops. I thought, we're stopping here. And she said, yes. I got out. She said, that's where we're going. The trouble where I was going was about from here back to the third row back. But in between, all there was sewer. Sewer each side. And there was one skinny wall that wide to get across to those people. I just stood there, frozen. I thought the sarees was a stupid idea at that moment. Fear overtook me. I thought, how am I going to walk across there? How am I going to walk across that very, very narrow thing? How am I going to walk? How am I going to do it? And I'm standing there, and I'm frozen, and I'm full of fear, and I can see this sewer, and I can see newspaper reports. Australian woman falls in sewer and drowns. Fear absolutely got me. But isn't that sometimes when it happens, we've got a dream? You know, we got a dream and the sewer comes. Well, I got the sewer, all right. And the worst part was, I'm standing there contemplating how I'm going to get out of this. And all of a sudden, I watch David. He's nearly across the wall. He's gone. And he turned to me and said, every man for himself. I'm telling you, that is the truth. Every man for himself. And I thought, what am I going to do? He's there, I'm here. I feel like chucking the saris to him. So isn't it funny? I saw a leaf. Now how a leaf could even grow in that muck beats me. But I just saw a leaf. And I thought, if I could just get hold of this leaf. I mean, leaf's going to hold me, isn't it? But anyway, I thought if I can get hold of this leaf, I'll be able to walk across the wall. And that's exactly what I did. I got hold of the leaf. And sometimes when we have dreams and visions, sometimes it's like holding on a leaf on a silly twig. But you know what? If God's in it. So I actually walk to the other side. But when I got there, I freaked again because I thought, I've got to go back. I went into that place and this woman was there, Phoebe. And I said, tell you my story. She spoke half English, half not. And I said, tell me your story. She said, we're such a looked down group of people. I said, I understand that. But tell me your story. She said, I was Hindu. I was in a Hindu temple worshipping, hear me, worshipping the Hindu gods, offering to the Hindus' gods. And suddenly, as I was doing that, Jesus appeared to me. I didn't even know who he was. I didn't hear about Christianity. No one talks to us. And she said, he spoke to me and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I love you. I've got a purpose for you and all those things. He started speaking to her there in the right in the middle of that temple. She gave her heart to the Lord. And at that time, she had 30 women, other women, that she'd brought to the Lord. And this year, we are giving 100 saris to these people, to these women that have more have come to the Lord. We're going to give 100 saris to them. But I told them, no sewers. I'll pick the place where we give the saris. See, the trouble is, people, you know, that challenged me. And I believe because of that day, I was really being challenged. Do I really believe what God is asking me to do? Do I really believe he loves me? Come on, we need to question that. Do I really believe he loves me? Do I really know that he'll never ever leave me nor forsake me? Do I really believe that he gives us those dreams? Because he does. Because it's always about others, isn't it, people? See, we usually want to wait until we're ready before we step out. But if we're ready, we tend to lean on ourselves. Don't you believe that? I found out this, when you feel you're ready, you're not. And when you feel you're not ready, you are. That's how it feels. God is challenging people this morning. He's challenging people. Especially, I feel it's such a challenge to the young ones this morning. Challenging you about the dreams. challenging you about what God's placed in your hearts, what God has placed in your hearts, young people and older people. Sometimes we get older and think, you know, it's not happening. Come on, people. We've got to work with God. Amen? I tell you, this nation needs older people like never before. Because I tell you what, it's Abraham who carried the vision. And, you know, Abraham never gave up that vision, even though he didn't see all the promises come to pass. He didn't give up that vision until the day he met his Lord. I'm telling you, people, we need to get hold of this stuff and know that God has placed it in our hearts. We desperately need to touch our nation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." I tell you, people, you have no idea what God's got prepared for you. Who's it prepared for? Those who love him. There's love again. Those that know his love works miraculously. Not perfect people, but people who know that God loves them. Ephesians 3:21 says, "To him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. All that his glory will be passed on to generations." Amen. Yeah. You know, stories of his miraculous power, passing it down to younger generations. Amen. Generation to generation to generation. You know, when I go to be with Jesus, I want to believe that some of the things I've taught, some of the things I've said will go on from generation to generation. Amen. Isn't that? It's not just about now. It's about generations to come. And his glory will be passed down from generations to generations. Amen. Isn't that your heart? Oh, stories of a miraculous power, his goodness passed on forever and ever. You know, my heart is so full of the fact his love works miraculously down the generations. Amen. Praise God. Our children's 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 children. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting. Colossians 1:26-27 from the Message says this. "This message has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory." It's that simple. He's in you. You can share his glory. These verses are saying that if we have a relationship with Christ, that he has our hope of glory both now and eternally. Amen? In him, by him, and through him. Christ within us and amongst us is the hope of glory. See, we can only realize and experience the glory of God in our lives because Christ is in us. Amen? He has our hope of seeing better things in and through our lives. Praise his wonderful name. As the children of God, we have the blood-bought right to experience the best God has planned for our lives. We have the blood-bought right to know that God has incredible plans for us and we will fulfill them in him. Amen? We've got to get hold of this, people. It's not about us. It's him in us. Satan furiously fights the plan of God in each of our lives. If I hadn't walked over that wall that day, I would have gone home. I would have felt so ashamed that I didn't care about these 30 women. And you know what? And I probably would have just ditched the whole thing. Because, you know, the enemy knew what was going to happen. Because out of those stories, I would say at least 3,500, 4,000 widows have come to the Lord through those stories. See, he tries to deceive us. He tries us to feel defeated. Doesn't he? He makes us feel ashamed, the enemy. You know, people say things about us that are not true, and he'll use anybody. He uses people to knock our dreams. He uses people to knock our visions. You've got to know that. He uses other people. I don't want to be a dream knocker. I want to be a dream builder. I want to be a dream builder. I want to encourage everyone I know in the dreams that God has placed in their lives. You know, as a young person, as I told you a bit of my story last week, I had no normal upbringing. I didn't know what normal was. You probably still think I'm not normal, but anyway. I had no normal upbringing whatsoever. But when I received Jesus, when I went on that journey to know that Jesus Christ really loved me, you know what? And not my circumstances, they no longer ruled me, things started to change in a way, but not a lot. But what happened was my perspective changed. His love works miraculously. So I started to see what could be possible through a life like mine. What could be possible? First of all, I needed to study. I knew that God was saying to me, I want you to study. Where do you study? In a two-bedroom housing commission house with six children. I tell you where you study. You study in the chook pen. Where else do you study? You study in the chook pen. Because you know what? I had a dream that my life could be better. And if my life was better, other people's lives would be better. Amen. That I believe that no matter what you've been brought into, what you've been brought up with, I tell you, God can change your life and He can use you to make a difference. And that's what drove me. It wasn't about me. I wanted to make a difference. I didn't want to see kids go through what I went through anymore. I wanted to see change. And I ended up being an advocate in the Princess Margaret Hospital where I could bring a lot of that change. God is amazing. If I hadn't studied, I wouldn't have got the job. I started to see what could be possible. Oh, I encourage you this morning, people. Start to see what could be possible. We've got to press on towards better, greater things. We limit ourselves when we look to ourselves alone. I don't like looking at myself very much, especially in the mirror nowadays, but you know. But we've got to stop. We've got to stop looking at ourselves and looking at our life through Him. In John, Jesus said to Martha, did I tell you and promise you that if you would believe and rely on me, you would see the glory of God? Isn't that what she said? See, the Lord has destined His church for glory. I'm sick of hearing bad things about the church. I can't stand it because I'm the church. God is manifested, excellent and goodness. He is coming back for a glorious church, people. He is. Not a defeated church. Come on. We are the church. And because of Jesus, we are not defeated. No matter what's happening, whatever decisions made today in government, we are not defeated. If we can just get hold of His love and manifest it to other people instead of pulling everybody else down, but let's manifest His love and His glory. Amen. See, God is looking for those who believe and receive. People who, you know, who will stop looking at their own capabilities or lack of them. You know, honestly, if you look down at your things that you can't do, the list would be a mile long, isn't it? But in Him, through Him, we've got to stop looking at the negative, false expectations that we put upon ourselves and other people put on us, but start expecting to see God's love working in us miraculously and through us. Amen? Praise God. I just want to encourage you to get hold of those dreams, things that God has placed in your heart. Just close your eyes for a moment. Just think about those things. Just think about those things that God's placed in your heart and you so desire. And you know they are according to God's word. I just want you to wipe everything else off but that right now and say, God, I'm going to open myself up to fulfill what you've placed in my life. I'm going to open myself up, Father. I'm not going to give up. Some of you, because of circumstances and what has happened in your life, you haven't been able to push through in some areas you know you wished to. But you know, God had a plan for your life right at the beginning and He has not changed His mind. So I just pray encouragement on every one of you this morning. Every one of you. Every one of you. I'd like everyone that's 20 and under just to stand up for a moment in this room. 20 and under. 20 and under. 20 and under. Isn't it great to see so many? Look how many there is. Hey, give them a clap. God has a plan for every one of you. For every one of you. He just wants to pour his love upon you this morning. Would you like to lift your hands? If you feel embarrassed, don't do it. But just receive his love. He just wants to show you how much this morning he loves you. He loves you. And some of you have been knocked because of your dreams. Some of you have been knocked and just can't see how it's all going to work out. I encourage you this morning. I encourage you just to cooperate with God, not with the enemy. And I break fear. I break fear. I break fear off these lives right now. I break fear. Amen? I break fear. I break fear. I break fear. I break words that have been spoken into your hearts. I break it right now. I break words that have been put up against you. I break them right now in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray you'll pour your love onto these young ones and you'll keep them, protect them. And older ones, as you're looking over there, pray for them. Believe in them. Encourage them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Hey, I believe in you. When I'm an old duck sitting at the front, just remember me. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. And I do pray for every one of you. Get hold of this. Get hold of the love of God. Get hold of. Doesn't matter what's happened or who you are. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Amen. Thank you.